We had a wonderful time last week, and that I did throw off a lot of people as they walked in the building and they were looking around saying, oh my goodness, like why are all these tables here and there's these sections and white tablecloths and black tablecloths as we broke up into our zones. And that, and you might say, well, what is that? Well, out on the back there, there's a little bulletin board, and we broke down our area, our community, into different zones, and depending on where you live, and that's where your zone will be. And as you live in that area, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. But as Christians, sometimes we're not so good at that. Because we've come into this part that almost like the three little piggies, and that we've paid so much attention to the devil, the big bad wolf, that we are so afraid that we do more hiding and running away than we do anything else. But yet the Bible tells us that we're to go into the highways and byways and compel people to come into the presence of God, to come and meet this Jesus. The Bible tells us all sorts of different things that challenge our hearts to love those around us. So we've set it up this way with different board members and leaders that are leading each group, and the groups are all about praying together, sharing life together, and caring for one another. They're not Bible studies. We'll take care of that in our fusion that's coming up. We'll take care of that in life groups that we're going to sporadically put all throughout the year, and that Bible studies and moments to dig deep and grow in the Lord. But this is a time for us to love one another and come together. The Bible says, how will the world know that we're so different? It will be because we come into a building with a cross on it. Will it be because we run good programs? Will it be because we've been here for 10 years or 50 years? Is that how they know? Not at all. The Bible simply says they will know by our love one for another. I shared, you know, as Pastor Phil, I've only been here now 3.5 years, and that I'm just coming into that half part. And that, you know, and as I've been learning and growing and developing relationships and moving together, and that I had to come and do things backwards. Because there was a lot of things administratively, a lot of things in the back scenes that a lot of people didn't know that we had to get back into working order. And so we've now got all of those things back into working order, and we're now ready, and that to really grow and really reach out as a church, and that we are healthy again, we're moving in a good position. And so I encourage you on that part, and that some, you know, are like, Pastor, you haven't did this, you haven't done that, but I encourage you, open your heart, and let's connect together, and let's grow. And that's part of what our family connections are all about, as we move together and we grow together, amen? At this time, I'm going to dismiss the kids. Your teachers will meet you in the lobby, or all of them to the lobby, sorry. All the kids are going to the lobby this Sunday. So they'll meet you in the lobby. The teachers will. Parents, if you need to go and sign your children in, then you can head out with them. Thank you, Jesus. More about this next week I'll share, but you'll see on the front of your bulletin, normally, you know, we would kick off January 1st as our kicking off the year. I got sick. I was pretty badly sick there for the first couple of weeks, and actually many people were. And so we talked that we would wait until February, the very first week in February, to kick off our new year and our new theme. Last year's theme was shine, and that God was really saying we need to shine. Matthew says, let your light shine before men so they'll see your good deeds and glorify the Lord. And God wants us to shine. This year, God is putting a different message in the heart that's kind of coming off of that one, but moving in a direction, and we'll share that next week. But we do know, and that if we're asking more of God, how many believe that God's not finished with you yet? How many believe he's not finished with Rockcliffe yet? How many believe he's not finished with Owen Sound yet? Right? Do we want to see a little more of God? Yeah. Amen? His presence, his revelation, we want to see that? Well, the Bible says that if we really want to see more of him, then what do you think he wants from us? Someone's saying it out loud. Well, maybe a little bit louder now. What does he think he wants? If we want more of him, what do you think he wants from us?
More of us. All of us.
Ah, I like that one. So we're going to start off in February with a season of fasting. Now, you might be here today, and I'll talk more about this next week. You might be here today and say, man, I've never fasted before. What is all of this about? It's not a diet. It's not a New Year's resolution. It's a spiritual act, right? The spiritual and the physical, they overlap, the Bible says. They overlap. That's why everything you say and you do, it matters. Because it not only has one impact in the physical, it has a spiritual impact on top of it. Amen? And so in that part, as the Bible tells, this thing called a fast, where we would deny basic things that we would need in life, we would deny that to press into him. It's not just, hey, I'm going to not eat and do my normal stuff, but in the time that we would normally eat, we would take time for him, pressing into him, moving into him. You know, for me, if someone said, hey, let's fast breakfast, guess what? I don't eat breakfast. So that's an easy one for me, right? Someone else, it might be something else, and they're like, well, I don't do that. That's easy for me. Now, last time we did this, God really put in my heart, Daniel fast. Call everyone to a Daniel fast. Daniel, in the Bible, when he fasted, he ate vegetables and fruit and nuts and some other things like that. Stayed away from sugar, stayed away from junk food, stayed away from all those, the meats and things like that. And I really felt God say that last time. This time, I did not feel God say, has to be this. This is what he put in my heart. He put in my heart that everyone would do something. Determine in your heart what the Lord would have you do, and do that, despite what anyone else might say. Well, that's not enough, or, well, I don't agree with that, or that's not that. It's okay. That's not what God put in my heart when he said, call this corporate fast. And you see that on there, Daniel fast on there, and that I probably might do that myself and invite people once a week if they want to join like we did last time, and we all brought our own food so that we shared different recipes, shared fellowship together once a week, and we'll, my wife and I will do that again. But in that part is determining your heart. Everyone's at a different place. There are some people, and that because of physical conditions in their body, that please go talk to your doctor first on what you're going to do or not going to do. Don't worry. If God puts it in your heart, your doctor will confirm it. Okay? Don't worry. Okay? But in that part is just go have a conversation, because in that conversation, the doctor might say, yeah, you know, that's okay, but don't do this. Right? You need this in there because of what you're taking, and that it's robbing that part of you, and you need this to supplement it. Okay? So I'm not a doctor. Talk to your doctor. Talk to big doctor God. Amen? But determine in your heart what you will do. Because in all honesty, it's not about what we do. You can do everything right and still be wrong. What God has really put in the heart is that in this first 21 days of February, starting from that Sunday, 21 days, that we will work together as one body to position our attitude and our heart in one place. That we will let love, we will let God come in and do the works that he needs to do in our hearts, and that preparing us as we walk out of the building into the mission field to work into his kingdom and to move into the things that he has. Listen, God's not dead.
Amen.
And neither are you. So as long as you got breath in your lungs, God has still something to do in and through your life. Amen? We'll share more about that next week. But this week, I want to finish off and I want to tie up some of the things that God has been placing in my heart and I've been walking through. We walk through walls talking about the walls that we build up in our life, and that to defend ourselves, to push off, and that people that have hurt us and wronged us. And sometimes, you know, you might have experienced this, maybe not in your own life, right, because we're all perfect by ourselves, but, you know, in someone else's life, when you've come up against, all of a sudden you're trying to love on someone, and that, and all of a sudden it gets rebounded off or rejected, and you're just like, my goodness, what's going on? Don't take it personally. Don't get offended. In fact, no one can offend you. No one can. Because God's given you a key to unlock everything through love and forgiveness. So you never can be offended unless you choose. Unless you choose it. But if you're finding you're loving on and someone's rebounding, just pause for a moment, take a step back and say, hey, God, there's got to be something there that's causing them to block the love that's trying to be put to them. Whatever that wall is, maybe they were hurt, maybe they were rejected. And that, you know, sometimes, and that men I've gone up to and would try to talk to them and try to love on them, and yet they were so wounded by their father or by an authority figure that they're like repel and don't receive. Sometimes some women that have been hurt so bad by a man that they put a wall up and say, I'm never going to be hurt like that again. No one's going to walk on me like that. Right? Those walls, and that we think they're just kind of protecting us from a person or from a group of people or whatever it might be, but the reality is the spiritual and the physical overlap. And every time we build a brick up between us and someone else, we're really building a brick up between us and God. Everything you do it unto the Lord. See, we got to understand the physical and spiritual overlapping, that everything we do, first we're doing it unto God. That's why it's really important for us when we do wrong towards someone that we not only say, hey, Danny, I'm so sorry I stepped on your toe. Would you forgive me?
Well, I'll forgive you.
Oh, thank you, Danny. Thank you, Danny. I received that. But that we pause for a moment and we say, hey, Father God, would you forgive me for hurting my brother in the Lord? Would you forgive me for that? You see, now God, Christ has already paid for all of that on the cross. But there's a part there that he wants us to ask. There's a part that he wants us to play to receive. There's a part he wants us to take so we can apply what he's done on that cross into our life. There's a part you and I have to play in this picture. We just can't coast through life thinking God's going to do everything for me. Because that's not the way God works. Lots of times God says, hey, and that take a step to the right. And so you step right and you're like, oh, God's leading me. I heard his voice. And oh, yeah. And then you get here and it's like, why am I here? What's going on? And he just wants you to be in the right position. So in the right timing, something's going to come right across your path and you'll be able to see it. Might not be right that instant, but he wants you into this position so that when it comes by, you're not in awe of, oh, this is so wonderful, and you miss, because you're looking everywhere, so you miss what he's doing. And so in that part is in our faith and our walk with God, it's a journey. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not this running race that, oh, I got to get. We walk through generational blessings. We talked a little bit about that. You can go on to rockcliff.org under sermons. You can catch up on some of these things. And we talked about the blessings that are so needed in every stage of our life. I related it to, you know, being conceived, to being in that during the pregnancy, during the part of when someone, a child is born, to early childhood, to teens, to adults, and then to seniors, and kind of those big questions. And I use that template to help us understand it a little bit better. But the big questions of life that we need answered, like, is there still a place for me? Who am I going to marry? Like, is there anything I'm good at I could do? Am I safe? Can I trust anyone? You see, these questions are so important that we settle in our heart. But you know and I know that life is not always fair. the relationships around us that we put trust in and we look to, or sometimes we put undue expectations on, and then that person can't meet that expectation, and then we think that they failed us and they did wrong. They cloud everything around us. They impact our decisions, the way we look at people, think about things all the time. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about a couple things. First off is I want to talk about our relationship with the Godhead. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some people in this room, they're pretty good with Holy Spirit. No problems. But Father God, that word Father tacked onto him, it's pretty hard for them. Well, they might not say it, but reality is, to some, maybe it's Jesus. They're okay with Father God. And so I want to walk through a couple things just to try and help us understand and to look at things just maybe a little bit differently. And that as God is trying to peel back the layers in our life, because he wants to get down to the real you. And I'll be honest with you, the real you and the real me is not always what gets projected. It's not always what comes out. Sometimes it's the hurts, the pains, it's the reflections of things from our past that come out of our lips and out of our mind and out of our heart. And that's why God wants to deal with our heart. He wants us free. He wants us set free. That whom the Son sets free is free indeed, because if not, out of the abundance of the heart, we reflect out. And so God wants to deal with these things, and the problem is we all want more of God, but every time we cram more of God in there, he gets into this tight spot, and he's just cramming inside of us, and God is saying, hey, I need more of you. Will you let me in this area of your life? Will you let me heal this, release this? Will you let me speak this word into you and encourage you? Will you receive what I'm saying to you, which will open some things? Or will you hang on to the lies of yesterday? Will you hang on to the curses of yesterday? Will you hang on to the wounds of yesterday? You see, that's what God wants us free. Each of us has three components in our being. The Bible tells us there's the body, the soul, and the spirit. Right? The soul is made up of our will, our ability to choose, and that it's made up of our mind, right? And that our soul, and that Bible talks about that idea, but three categories, our body, our soul, and our spirit. And each of those areas have specific needs. There's specific needs in there. The body has a need for identity, security, protection, and provision. We need to feel safe. We need to feel that we're going to be okay. And our body craves it. Even on the deathbed, the body is still fighting to survive. Why? Because that's where we get that part of our identity and our security and protection and provision. Whereas the soul needs communication and companionship. My wife tells me all the time, you know, that, hey, you know, I don't need just flowers. I don't need just this. I just want you. You know, Phil, you're running this way. You're running. You're doing this. I just want your attention. Put things down. I just want you. So what is she really saying? Her soul is crying out to say, I need communication. I need companionship. I need that part. And there's an element of that. Now remember, listen to me. God made your soul. He made your body. It's pretty important. In fact, the Bible says the body is the temple of the Lord. Emotions aren't a negative. We make them into negatives, but they're not a negative. It's only a negative when we use them in wrong ways. But he wants you to feel his goodness. How many people here today have physically felt the presence of God at some point? Physically felt the presence of God at some point. Now, listen to me. Doesn't mean everyone has to. God shows himself, reveals himself in many different ways. So I didn't say that for any other way. Just to say is that he manifested himself in a way that your body responded. How about, how many people here today and that you and that emotionally responded when God touched you. Maybe you cried, maybe you laughed, maybe you that idea, or in your mind, God has given you a dream or revelation, or he's spoken something into your heart. And that, how many people have had that part of an experience? Right? God is constantly revealing himself all the time to us. And he uses and speaks to us. And the last is the spirit. See, our spirit inside, it needs comfort and nurture and teaching. That's why God said, Jesus said, it's good for me to go, and I'll send the Holy Spirit. He is the great comforter. He is your guide. Right? And so we see this picture and this part unfolding. Likewise, a family also has three parts. It has a father, a mother, siblings, or you can put friends in there afterwards, and that because we have a lot of adopted kids in our family, and that, but father, mother, and siblings. Each part has a role to aid the development of a healthy family unit. My hat goes off to single dads trying hard to raise their kids and do the best that they can. My hat goes off to them. My hat goes off to single moms that are doing everything they can to love on their kids and to pour into them. And that, why? Because it's not easy. It's hard enough with two, let alone one. And so my heart goes out and I pray extra prayers and blessing and favor of God upon them. But reality is, we need in our prayers, and that as a single dad or a single mom, to be praying, God, would you bring godly men, if it's a woman, bring godly men around the church to speak into my kids, to love on my kids. Grandpa, to have boost of energy, Ken. Boost of energy so you can keep up with Ella and Alex. You know, and that to a man saying, God, would you bring some godly women that would love on my kids in ways that I can't. And God will provide. He will provide. And that Lisa Petra has been loved on massively by, and that some godly men in the church that have been just loving on her, and that she's lacking nothing. Right? God will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Amen? It might not be, and that the ideal way, it might not be the perfect plan, but reality is sometimes in this broken world, not much turns out perfect. And so therefore, we got to work with where we're at and invite God into that moment, and we pray God to restore. We pray God to release his goodness. We pray God and that to help restore relationship and move in that way. But in that whole process, the key to it all is we need God. Amen. So the institute that God put together called the family unit. In the world we live in, it's being broken apart, torn apart, but I'm telling you right now, it's still God's plan. It's still God's plan. Sex before marriage is not God's plan. Common law is not God's plan. Why? Because in that part of relationship of husband and wife joining together as one, making a covenant, not just signing a contract, but a covenant together, bonds them not only physically, but it bonds them spiritually before God. It makes us, lack of better word, it makes us blessable. That we're moving into God's direction so that God can bless us and pour his favor upon us. Amen? And that it's not Phil's idea, it's not Rockliffe's idea, it's the Word of God. And as we realize that, then we realize that institute of family also represents the function of the Godhead. And that we have Father God, we have Jesus and Holy Spirit in our lives. Wounds and lines that underline our basic needs and that unconsciously impact our understanding of God. It causes us the filters inside of us. It causes us to doubt or to stop when we should go forward. We end up with a misunderstood view of Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. So if I talk about the Father for a moment, it's the head of the family. And that head of the family. in the natural realm, and that the God established it in a way. Don't get me wrong, ladies. I don't understand it all, because sometimes men are daft. Women got it better together. I get it all, but it's just not a part of the plan, right? And God's got a plan for some reason. It's the same thing in work, right? Sometimes you know more than the boss does. Am I not right? Sometimes that boss, you're like, what the heck? How on earth did that boss ever get it? Because he doesn't know anything, or she doesn't know anything. But in that part is God uses these things all in our life to learn to help us, to learn to humble into one word. And this is a word we want to establish heavily into Rockcliffe. And the word is honor. When we can honor one another, when we can see the treasure and draw it out, something changes. When you can pray blessing over someone, your attitude of your heart starts to shift. There's just something about it. There's just a way that God sets things up. So we have Father, the head of the family. See, our earthly father is the member of the family that is responsible for the needs of the body. In other words, they impact identity, that part of belonging in his children. Our perception of ourself comes from the way our fathers pour into our lives. It relates to us, how the father relates to us, how he treats us, how he talks to us, and so forth and so forth. The result when dad is not around physically or emotionally is children become confused about who they are and their purpose. In a generation that they're calling a fatherless generation in many ways, it's no wonder we have so much confusion in our young people today. Am I a guy? Am I a girl? Am I a goat? Am I a wolf? I'm not joking. The pressure that is on our young people today is immense. And everything rises and falls in a community, in society, off the family unit. Why do you think the family is under so much attack? Why do you think this family is under attack? Because the enemy does not want the family functioning properly, because if it functions properly, he has nothing. He only has something when we give him room or give him opportunity, and that to divide and conquer, because that's what the enemy does. But if all of a sudden we come together as a family unit, as a church, and a physical family, as my wife and I come together with our kids, the enemy has no access into my family. No weapon formed against. Do we believe that? But it's when we're to come as one. Because a house divided can't stand. And it's that coming together. So as a father, and that's why it's so much confusion in society around us, where children say, I'm not good, I'm not worth anything, and that dad is not even interested in me. You see, when we try to accept our identity in Christ, they don't understand how to do that. And that why? And that they don't understand, because in the physical realm, the world has been shattered, because where they should be receiving that identity, right? I mean, it doesn't happen as much now today. And that, but, you know, if two people got married, you know, then the wife would take the husband's name. It doesn't always happen that way. And I'm not saying it has to happen. I'm not saying that, but I'm using it as an illustration. It's that part of taking on that part. And then when the children come up and are born and they start that, they get whose last name? The father's. The identity comes from there. It's that part of how the father is supposed to pass on to and relate to his children. Fathers also have the responsibility to provide and to protect. So it's that identity, it's that provision and protection. He is the one children look to for safety, because he's bigger and stronger than all the foes in their lives. As they're growing up, and that, I was like one of the superheroes, that I could do anything. Now my son's taller than me, and and la, 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 whatever, whatever, as we walk through. But it's that part of that family unit that that's what the Father does, is not only brings identity, but provision and protection. He's the one that children look up to. The result, if dad is not there when scary thing happens or seemingly cannot provide adequately for the family, children don't feel protected. There's no concept of being safe. No one has my interests in mind, runs through their hearts and minds. They develop a need to protect themselves. That's that defensive wall starts to get built up because I got to take care of myself. They have a lack of trust in others. They see everyone as untrustworthy, automatically transferring feelings of unprotected to the Father God, and they're unable to trust God. They have that doubt always lingering in the back, and they don't know why. Why is it there? And that a lot of the time is because that physical and spiritual overlap, and something lacked here. And we're putting the physical up first, and the spiritual is taking second place. Remember that song we used to sing? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The spiritual has to trump the physical every time. Every time. That's not easy because I don't always feel it. I don't always want to. But I've got to allow the Word of God to take that place and replace the Word into my heart where there's feelings that aren't lining up. In other words, if I put it a different way, and this is a phrase I use a lot, we don't bend the Bible to us. We bend our lives to the Bible. The Word of God said it, so I'm going to believe it. The Word of God said it, so I'm going to do it. Instead of, does it fit my life? Do I like it? Do I agree? Do I don't? Do I want? Do I? No, it's I'm going to bend to the Word of God. I'm going to embrace what he has to say. So when we're struggling, and maybe you struggled in your father and in that area, either that provision, that identity or protection area, and that, and some maybe today you've already dealt with it, you've walked past it and it's not holding you. But if you are here today and it's holding you, in a few moments, we are going to pray. And we're going to pray a release for that so that we can get that from being here, and we can get it to here, and by God's grace and his mercy, and God can replace it with his picture of who he is. He is a good, good father. You can trust God. He says, I will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen? That's the God that we serve. And that, but before we do that, let's step with the mother. I don't know about you. I love my mother. I miss her dearly. And that she moved back to New Brunswick, and that, I call, and sometimes I pick up the phone, and I've tried a couple times, and I don't make it through, and my heart just sinks, because I'm a mama's boy, and I'm okay with that. I love hearing my mom's voice. Don't get me wrong, my dad, if I could be a quarter of my dad, my goodness, I feel like I'd be okay. But my mom, there's just a special place in my heart with my mom, and there's something about it. And maybe you're here today and you can feel that too, and you know that. But not all people have that same experience. And that some, it's been very difficult. You know, when we think of a mother, and that earthly mother is the one who meets or speaks to the comforting and nurturing needs of a child. She's the one who cares for her children, responds to their physical hurts. She hears why more than anyone is and explains and walks through. She just hears that, and she's nurturing. She spends time. My kids, when they used to come to me and that, and they cut their finger or they have a cut on their leg, they'd come up to me and, oh, daddy, oh. And I'd look, I said, oh, okay, let me see it. And they'd go to, so high, oh, yeah. And I'd go to try and bite it, and they'd be like, no. Whereas that they go to mom. Oh, mom would sit there, mom, come. And she'd hold them, and she'd make sure they're okay, and she'd bandage them up, and, you know, do you need some ice cream? And she'd just love on them and listen to the whole story. And I'm like, hey, it's okay, you're bleeding on the floor. Let me fix it, you know? It's why? Because I'm not wired like my wife's wired. My wife's not wired like I'm wired. Men and women are meant to be different. They're meant to be different. If you're a lady here today, you don't have to try and carry the load of a man. In fact, sometimes, and that, you know, I'm not going there because I'm going to get in trouble and I'm going to focus here. Okay. And that results when mom is not around, and that is really, it's that single parent or other priorities have just got mom too busy. A child feels that they're not important. They're worth anyone's attention. And that they may find other ways to comfort themselves. Or if mom is controlling, they might feel they're never going to please anyone. And that they're never going to line up. That they're just a mistake and nothing works out. Sometimes it leads to avoidance. Sometimes the guilt. People live with guilt most of their life and they're trying to figure out why. And it's not really something that they did wrong. You know, like, hey, if I kick someone, I can feel guilty because I kicked them, and so I go and make it right. But sometimes we just have this guilt feeling, and we're carrying it around, and we don't understand why. Sometimes it leads to people-pleasing. Just always trying to please, 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 at the detriment of your health, detriment of what God wants you to do. You see, God has given us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to be our trainer. He's the one who leads us into all truth. The way to break a lie is to embrace truth. The way to break a curse is to speak and embrace a blessing. And so in this part, we need to embrace Holy Spirit's help. If there's a wounding in that mother area of the family, we can have a lack of connection with Holy Spirit. We kind of stay away. We kind of feel, you know, we don't fit. Holy Spirit's kind of cold and distant. You know, he does stuff for everyone else, but never for me. You know, woe is me kind of kicks in. Is that repelling? Why? Because we've been so hurt and so wounded, and that in the past that we built such a wall up that as God tries to love on us, Holy Spirit's trying to love on us, we repel it. And, you know, no, no, I'm not worthy. No, 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 I don't deserve. No, 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 it's someone else. No, 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 no. And we keep pushing it off. And then we say on the other side, well, Holy Spirit never talks to me. Holy Spirit never does anything. No one ever cares. No one loves me. I mean, we know the scenario because either we've walked in it ourselves or we've faced it with someone. And God is saying, wait a second here. If whom the Son sets free is free indeed, why are so many Christians bound? Why are we so bound with attitudes and hurts and regrets? Why are we so easily offended? Why is this? And it's because there's areas in our life that we've just either had no go or we've never ever grabbed a hold of to be free of so we can walk light. He says, I've given you grace so you can walk light and free. My burden on you, and that is not to overwhelm you. You see, when God comes to us and he's saying, hey, I'm not finished with you yet, but sometimes some of us, we've stepped into the kingdom of God, we've embraced a few things, but then we say, well, okay, I've done enough. I'm okay now. And God said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not finished with you yet. I only did this and this and this and this in your life, and now I got some more things I want to do so you can reflect me better and you can see the full potential of what I have inside of you. In fact, until the day you die, you're still growing. You're still being reshaped and molded to become more like Christ. So don't quit on God and don't quit on yourself. And that as we move forward and see what God has, we end up with a form of godliness, but we deny the power therein. If we refuse Holy Spirit, we have a form of godliness, but we're denying that power, which is Holy Spirit, inside of our lives. And God says, that's not a very healthy place to be. So we need help in that area. And maybe it has nothing to do with the physical part of mom, but it has everything to do with the part of Holy Spirit. And if you're struggling on that side, there's a great book by a guy named Francis Chan. It's called The Forgotten God. It's all about Holy Spirit. Help you understand, help you get into that place so you can embrace Holy Spirit. Because if you don't embrace him, you are missing everything. Because we can't say, oh, well, Jesus and I got a good thing going. I don't really need him. Because you can't have Jesus without Holy Spirit. You can't have Jesus without Holy Spirit, and you can't have Father God without Jesus. It's a complete package deal that he gives us. So let's jump to the next one here, and then I'll close. And that is we pray together. So the next one will be in the family unit is the siblings. I'm going to put a slash on their friends and that, on that part, or maybe your spouse, you can kind of throw into this area too. You see, this group of the family meets the needs of communication and companionship, sharing and connecting. The Bible says that Jesus is our companion, and our best friend. Sticks closer than a brother. There's just something about him and that he reveals himself to us in such an incredible way. Since Jesus is the one who died for our sins, we can usually connect to him and talk to him more easily than Holy Spirit or Father God. It's just, most people, that's just reality check. And how we react to our siblings or our friends, or how we react or they react to us, transfers into how we respond and react to Jesus. Older siblings that are forced to care for and that, or parent younger children, could end up believing that Jesus will force us to do something that we don't like, or we don't want to do, or we're incapable of doing. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, the saying around church was simply this: don't ever tell God you don't want to do anything. Because if you tell him, he's going to force you to do it. Oh, God, I want to go to Alaska, because that would be so awesome. Don't ever send me to Bahamas, because that would be bad, you know? I mean, like, hello, who do we think Father God is? Right? Who do we think he is? So this misconception that gets placed so deep inside of us sometimes, maybe not consciously, but unconsciously, it's set in stone in us because of things that we've embraced over the years, that our vision of Father God or Holy Spirit or Jesus are so clouded by misconceptions. Well, he didn't answer this. So he's not taking care of me. Holy Toledo's, I felt so alone in this moment. And holy, where were you, God? You're not looking out for my needs, are you? See, those moments in our life, the enemy wants to define you by your moment. Whereas God wants that moment to redefine who you are. And he'll turn it around for good. That will become making you stronger and more understanding of who he is and who you are if you'll let him. If not, the enemy will use it every time and any time he can to rob, kill, and destroy what God wants to do. Younger siblings may think that the older one is trying to control them and that it's not out for their best interest. And we see it in workplaces when the boss is away. Boss is gone, so all of a sudden it says, Barry, you take over things for me while I'm gone, okay? You know, and he walks away and he's going, Barry turns around and says, well, hey, Danny, he didn't share his banana with me the other day, so you know what? Hey, Danny, you're getting 15 minutes off your lunch break this day, you know? Oh, he had a plate of cookies and he didn't, that's anti, that's 20 minutes, Danny. But you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden this unfair treatment happens, or we're like, what the heck, why Barry and why not me? I've been here one day longer than him. I deserve it. And all of a sudden we get bent out of shape. You see, it happens all the time in every realm around us. But if it's a pattern that's happening in your life, maybe it's time to take a look at the pattern. Maybe it's time to take a step back and say, God, why is it that I react this way every time? It's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Too many times I've had people echo to me, well, that's just the way I am, and you've got to like it. And I turn around and I say, whoa, 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 whoa. I love you. But I love you too much to allow you to stay that way. And the friends and the people around you have just not been honest with you. And I would rather stand before God and be honest with someone and that than stand before the Lord and say, what were you doing, Phil? That you never ever challenged or you never ever talked to your friend and you just let them in that pattern that they missed out so much joy, missed out so much goodness because of that attitude or whatever it might be. See, these impacts of the physical and spiritual overlap all the time. If siblings or friends devalue you, you may lead to think that Jesus really doesn't want to include you, or you're not he's not interested in you, he's not listening to you. And so all of a sudden, then, we start rejecting a bit of what Jesus is asking of. Almost like now we have a right to refuse what either Father God asks or Holy Spirit or Jesus does. Yet in Peter, he says, you were bought with a price. You're no longer your own. Jesus paid it all. And now to all the Jesus I give. Yet in the world, we're told all the time, fight for your rights, fight for your rights, fight for your rights, fight for your rights. And we pull so much of the world into our way that God has called us into the way, I should say, not our way, the way, into Jesus' way, into the kingdom mentality. And there's so much confusion. He says in Romans chapter 12, 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you will know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We have to operate differently in order to see what God has. In your bulletin, you received a blue piece of paper. A blue piece of paper. And that there's some prayers and some statements and things on there. We're not going to go through them all, but we're going to go through two. These are the two that God placed in my heart that I really want to focus on. And that the first one is, we're going to walk through forgiveness. Whether we need to forgive Mom, you might say, well, Mom's not living anymore. Doesn't matter. And that she doesn't need your forgiveness, but you need to release it. And maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's a sibling or a friend or something that has impacted you enough that's got you stuck in a lie, in something that is like a curse that's moving you downwards and it's beating you with shame, guilt, whatever it might be. Now listen, it's different. I'm talking different. If you go and you punch someone in the face and all of a sudden you're feeling guilty, that's nothing to do with Mom, Dad, or your brother or sister. That's to do with you, and you need to then make it right, right? Own up and repent. I'm talking about those emotions, those feelings, that part of our soul or our body or our spirit that gets impacted by other people. The Bible talks about being captive. You didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't because of you. It was because of the environment and the things around you that now has held you captive. And Jesus says that he has anointed me with the good news, to preach the good news, to bind up the broken heart, to set the captive free, to release the prisoner, and declare the year of the Lord's favor. Not only in Isaiah, but also in Luke, he declares that out. So I'm talking about the captive part right now, where it wasn't your fault. Someone needs to hear that right now. So let's just pause. I promise I will finish right here. But someone needs to hear this. Growing up, whether Mom and Dad split, whether there was troubles in the home, whether your brother or sister didn't like you or something, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not your fault. And someone needs to embrace that right now because that has lingered in the back of your heart and lingered and it's controlled you in the ways that you move, that has impacted you in so many ways, and that it's not your fault. If that's you, I'm just telling you right now, I'm pausing on this because Holy Spirit is impressing on my heart and he wants you released today. This is your day. So embrace that. I encourage you. It was not your fault. It's time to let that one go. And it's time to move past. So if you have your blue paper with you, we're going to pause and we're going to go down 3/4 of the page of the front to forgiveness. And we're going to pause and we're going to read this together, out loud, everyone together. When we get to the blank, you can go silent and just say it in your mind. And that, or you want to whisper it out, that's fine. If it's your wife or husband, don't elbow them and say, yeah, this one, you know. Or if it's someone else in the room, don't turn around and say, yes, and we're reading along. Kind of like, anyone like Mr. Bean? Remember Mr. Bean? I loved when he sang in church. And then all of a sudden he kicks into that. So don't do that when you get to that line if it's someone in the room, okay? All right. Okay, so whether this be father, mother, whether it be siblings, friends, or something else, but that has impacted you in those areas where I've just shared, it's time to let go. It's time to let God bring that healing. Because when your hands are on it, God can't get his hands in there. So today, all we're going to do is we're going to let go, trust in God, and that because forgiveness isn't a physical act, it's a spiritual act. And we step forward in the spirit, and the physical will follow. It might take time, but we're going to retrain our body and our mind and our emotions to catch up with us. In Jesus' name, amen? So let's read together. So 3/4 down where the darker word says forgiveness. We're going to read in the name of Jesus together, okay? All right, so if you have it with you, does anyone need a copy before we start? Does anyone need a copy if you slide your hand up? If you don't have one to share? Okay, all right, so let's read together as a prayer, and when we get to the blank, just pause. If you got like multiple people, I'll pause a little longer so that you can list out whoever you need to list so that you can release those people and allow God and that to move you into the position he wants you to bring. All right, so let's pray. In the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive as I have been forgiven. I now choose to forgive. I release any right I have retained to bring revenge. I release them from my hands and place them into your hands, Jesus, my just judge. I break every curse I have sent to them and call forth a blessing to them instead. Thank you for the grace to forgive and the power to live in freedom. Jesus, I just pray right now a sealing in. That this isn't just a form of godliness. Holy Spirit, we need your help right now to make this the reality. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So today, I pray in Jesus' name, people to be free. People to be free in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. One last prayer we're going to pray. And this is because I really do believe, whether it's for one person here, I do believe Holy Spirit put this in my heart. So we're going to take, and we're going to take the very first one, and that is breaking soul ties. Breaking soul ties. What does that mean? So in short, basically is, and that relationship you might have had with someone else that wasn't your spouse, that relationship you might have had before you even had a marriage, and that maybe it's not talking just sex and that idea, but that emotional connection you've made, listen to me, ladies, it's very dangerous for you unless it's a really godly man, a really godly person, for you to be emotionally vulnerable with another man that's not your husband. Why? Because in that part is we emotionally make connections. And ones that we don't realize. And then all of a sudden, what happens is oh, well, you know, my husband doesn't listen to me like that. And we start replacing our husband with someone else, even though there's no physical thing or anything like that, there's an emotional tie. And God saying, hey, guard yourself. And that he might be a blockhead, but he's your blockhead, right? And God wired him in such a way that you need him. Listen to me, you need him. Because he has the giftings and strengths that maybe a little bit inside of you, but it's because God's saying, I'm not finished with you, and there's some areas that I need to change, and he is part of my instrument to help bring that change. Okay? In that part is not only emotional soul ties, but there is that physical part. And over again, and that I walk through counseling, I walk through people, and that and they're just having a hard time. They're having a hard time connecting with their spouse and everything, and it's going back to previous people they were with, and they just can't let go. See, that physical bond of two becoming one is pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. And it takes a spiritual, because the spirit's stronger than the flesh, to break that. And that's what we're going to do. Let me pause so I don't get in trouble picking on, saying guys are blockheads. And that men, same thing with you. Well, my wife doesn't understand. This lady, she totally understands me. She gets me. You know, and so you start sharing your emotions there. So what happens is you come home emotionless because you got nothing else to share with your spouse. And then your wife starts to feel neglect, starts to feel no companionship, starts to feel no comfort, starts to feel like, whoa, wait a minute here. And in that part is we have to be very careful. Why? Because you can open doors. Let me pause for 1 second. I said I'll be done here, but that's why we protect up here. That's why I protect here. Why? Because it's very vulnerable when we take a step towards the Lord and we're opening ourselves up. That's why I try to protect here as best I can. And that, why? Because I challenge our men, hey, be very careful. Now we're in an open setting, it helps, but be careful. If you're going to pray for a woman, if you watch me, and I have no problem praying with anyone, but sometimes when I'm praying for a lady, and if something in my heart saying this is going deep, you'll watch me, I'll say, hey, you know, I'll pick someone out, or someone beside me will say, hey, here you go, and I'll leave them to finish off, and I'll step away. I said what God asked me to do, but I step out of the picture, because I'm not the Savior. You're not the Savior. We don't have to do anything. We just got to connect them to Jesus. Right? So in that part is that protecting part. So for the sake of one, can we all do this together? And when we come to that blank spot, and that those two blank spots, that's where you're going to release that name. You don't have to say anything out loud. You don't even have to move your lips. In fact, and that for this one, we're just all going to bend our head down. And that at our paper, okay? If you can't see so well, you can go like this, okay? But everyone bend your head down for a moment. There's no waving around. There's no indication. Don't even wink. Don't even do anything. But during this part, when we get to the blank, if there's something there, today's your day for freedom. Today's the day to let go of it and let God have it. Amen? Okay, so let's read together. In the authority of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus to stand between me and to separate the one flesh union. I send back to, put the person's name there again, everything that I have taken from in the one flesh union, and I call back to him, to me, sorry, everything that I gave to him or her in the one flesh union. I declare the blood of Jesus to be a wall of separation between us. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring my soul. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. You are so interested in every part of our life. God, Lord, and you truly do want us to be free. And I thank you, God, there is no one in the sound of my voice that is too far gone. There's no one in the sound of my voice that, you know, that little pebble in the shoe, it's not really a big thing, but that it doesn't matter to you. You care about everything, Lord. And you're just longing for us as your children to come to you as our daddy, to jump up on your lap and say, hey, daddy, I'm struggling. Hey, daddy, I'm angry. Hey, daddy, I don't understand why. Just to come to you. And so, Lord, I pray even for the soul ties to be broken, that we've replaced you with a friend or for someone else. Lord, that when we should be coming to you and asking you, instead we run around and we talk to everyone else. Oh, thank you, God, you use our friends and use everyone, but you should be the first one we go to. So God, would you forgive us all today? Lord, of times that we have run to other people before we've run to you. who should be the very all in all in our life. You're our life giver. The breath that we breathe is you. And so, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would forgive us in that area as we move forward this year. God, will you open up, Lord, the floodgates of our heart, Lord, that we would become an open book to you. God, you can go to any chapter you want in our life. You can go to any place, Lord. And God, Lord, we will allow you to bring healing so that, Lord, you can restore us, body, mind, soul, and spirit, so we can embrace the fullness of what you have today. And so I bless each and every marriage here. I bless each and every family here. I bless each and every person here in the name of Jesus Christ, that you have called us into one big family. And Lord, we thank you for that. You've adopted us. We're no longer aliens and strangers or people that are far off, but we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. So Lord, I speak favor and blessing over each and every one. And as we come back tonight, Lord, God, Lord, to worship you and to spend time in your presence, God, and send the hill, Lord, would you just, Lord, reveal yourself in such an incredible way to us, Lord. Lord, and we just love you, we adore you, and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, 6:30 tonight is our worship night. If you haven't checked yet and you're saying, hey, Rockcliffe is my home, and that, then please make sure you check the family connections to find out where you're at, and then fill in the form so that we can get you placed on there, and that way you'll get a call the third week of every month. The third week, every group is going to meet together. It might be different places, different times, different days, but they're going to meet together to grow together. So I encourage you, make sure you check that before you go away. Also, if I could see the worship leaders and that for maybe 10 minutes, and that the worship leaders before you go. God bless you. We love you lots, and we will see you tonight at 6:30.